Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Gittin Perek Chamishi, looking at Mishnah Zion and Daf Nuntet Amud Aleph. Cheresh Romez V'Nirmaz, somebody who is a deaf mute, who otherwise his transactions are not considered valid, if he makes hand motions, we can accept that as valid for transaction. Uven B'Teira Omer Kofetz V'Nikpatz B'Metaltlin. Ben B'Teira says it's even less than that. Even facial movements, when it comes to metaltalin, when it comes to barter, is valid. Hapi'utot, what about young kids? Mekhan mekach mimkan mimkar bimetaltalin. When it comes to chattel, not land, then their business dealings are considered valid. This is all tikkun ha'olam to protect them and to allow them to operate in society. Now, Amrav Nachman, achloke bimetaltalin. Nachman's first version of him is that this machloket between Chacham and Ben Teira is only about metaltalin. But Gittin, the Rakol Mizah. When it comes to Gittin, we need more clarity, and therefore only with hand movements. Even Ben Teira will say you need hand movements. Except Pshita, metaltalin Tanan. That's obvious because it says metaltalin. So Ma'udatayma Afim metaltalin. Maybe Ben Teira meant even metaltalin. So Kamash Balan, it's only metaltalin. Now the other version is the opposite. Ikadam Yamar Nachman, Kamachlok Metaltalin, Kach Machlok Begitin. The dispute of metaltalin is the same as the dispute Begitin. Ay Vada Metaltalin Tanan. So Ema Af Metaltalin. We just invert what we read and say that a Metera meant even a metaltalin, certainly Begitin, Kvitzah is enough. Alright, now Hapu'utot, Mekhan Mekach Mimkar Metaltalin. The second half of the Mishnah introduced the idea of young children having transactions that are valid. Viad Kama, how old? So Machra Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yitzchak Bure, Rav Yehuda showed his son Rav Yitzchak Kvarshit Kvarshev, 6 or 7 years old. Kanamar Kvarshev Kvartamni, he said 7 or 8. Nita Tana Kvartesh Kvaresa, we have 9 or 10. For low pligi, they're really not disagreeing. Kochad v'chad l'fi chorfei. Everyone is according to his sharpness, meaning if a kid at 6 understands what business dealings mean, they're valid. If he doesn't get it till he's 10, v'tam amai, what's the reason that we have this? If you have a kid who needs to find somewhere to support himself, we have to allow him to operate. Now, parenthetically, within this context, Rabbi Yaakov quotes Rabbi Yochanan, as, and within the context, meaning Rav Amram Yaakov is not somebody we hear from usually, he had another piece that is not about this, but we mention it here just with that associative connection. This is the famous case in Malachim where the king identified himself as a great loyalist of Baal, assembled all of the Baal worshippers in one place and then massacred them. And he spoke to La'asher al-Hameltacha. So the question is, my Meltacha, what is that word? Something that can be folded up and then opened up. In other words, very fine flax. Ki'atza, these were garments. Ki'atza of Dimir of Yochanan, Shigerlo Bunyos ben Nunyos the Rebbe. This particular wealthy man sent to Rebbe. Sivni v'chumus salsala umalmala. He sent these kind of clothes. What were they? Sivni v'chumus, what are they? Ki'amguza upalgi damguza. They were the size of a nut and half a nut. Salsala mamala, when you rolled them up, kepiskata upalgeta piskata, like a peanut, or like a pistachio and half a pistachio, something like a small nut. In other words, when you could roll them up and they'd be very, very tiny, they were very, very fine flax. Now, my mamala, why is it called that? Davahanim lal vimtach. Again, something that can be rolled up in a small ball and then stretched out wide. Back to the pu'utot, v'ta'utan ad kama. If a pa'ot makes a mistake in a transaction, at what point does it revert? We use the same measure as we use for an adult, which is 1/6. If the overprice or underprice by 1/6, the day more than 1/6, then it reverts. Boy abai, matnatomai. Can he give a gift or get a gift? Rav Yemar ain matnatomatana. Rav Yemar says his gift is not a gift. Marashi mar matnatomatana. He says it is. They sent the message to Rav Mordechai and they flipped it, having Mar Bar Ashi say it's not valid, and Rav Yemar saying it is valid, to test him out, maybe. Amar le zilu imru levar mar. He said, go tell them back there, lav hachi avi uvda, don't you remember the story? Mar chad kariya arav chad kariya darga, when the master had 1 foot on the ground and 1 foot on a step, in other words, he was remembering the exact scene. The Amar nale, and we asked him, Matnatomai, Mamatanomatana. He said, the matana is good. אחד מנת שחימירה, אחד מנת ברי, אחד מנת מרובה, אחד מתנה מועטת. Whether it's a large gift, a small gift, whether it's a matan shimira, or a regular gift, it is a valid gift, even though he's a paot. So remember that Barbara Avashi, evidently quoting his father, really the ruling he had was that it is valid and not the way you switched it around. Okay, the next Mishnah we're only going to read the beginning of because our analysis will only cover the beginning, and then we'll go back to the Mishnah as we regularly do and read the next parts. But our Mishnah is a list of things that are similar to Tikkun Olam, Takanot Mei Darkei Shalom, to try to keep peace. Eilad Vayim Ramun and Darkei Shalom was the first of them. Kohen Korei Rishon Vacharav Levi Vacharav Yisrael. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. That in Shul, the first one to get the Aliyah is Kohen, then Levi, then Israel. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. So flip the page, turn to the Gemara. Min Nahani Mili, Amrav Matna Di Amar Kra, Vayichtom Moshe Ta Torah Zot Vayna El Kohanim B'nei Levi. And Sefer Dvarim, often the Kohanim are called Kohanim B'nei Levi. So Atu Ana Lo Yadar El Kohanim B'nei Levi, Ninu, don't I know what tribe they come from? El Kohen B'Reish V'Hada Levi. Why are they called Kohanim B'nei Levi? To show that they are the elite among the Levim and they come first. V'Yitzchak Nafcham Amehacha V'Nikshua Kohanim B'nei Levi. Another example. That's the story of the Egla Rufa. Atu Ana Lo Yadar El Kohanim B'nei Levi, Ninu, El Kohen B'Reish V'Hada Levi. Same inference. Rashi Amehacha B'nei Amram Aharon U'Moshe, in the lineage of the Levim, in Divrei Hayamim, it says, this is not exactly the lineage is much earlier in Divrei Hayamim, when establishing the Kuhuna, B'nei Amram Aharon U'Moshe, V'yibadel Aharon L'Hakdisho Kodesh Kodashim. Aharon was separated from the rest of the Levim to be Kodesh Kodashim. Now, this, of course, is a much stronger statement, but it's from Divrei Hayamim, so the other Amoraim preferred to use the Torah. You are supposed to sanctify him, the Kohen, the Chol Davar Shebikdusha, which means he goes first. Everything having to do with sanctity, the Kohen goes first, so it's going to be Kohen before the Levi. Now, Tana Dvei Gishmuel, V'kidashto, we now have a brighter that says the Chol Davar Shebikdusha, meaning Liftoach Rishon, to read first, Levarech Rishon, that's at a meal, to Manayafar Rishon, you give him the first nice piece. He's honored at all of these things. Alright, which means, of course, that, and all of these statements are very problematic because they're all bringing proof text from Tanakh that Kohen goes first, and the Mishnah said it was Darkei Shalom. How can you say that it's a takana? And this is something we've seen earlier when we said certain things were made. We said, how can we say it's tikkun olam? After all, it is daraita. And so if Yosef answers, that's why the Torah instituted it. The Torah instituted the Kohen first to keep the peace so people wouldn't fight over who got the first Aliyah. At least there'd be some measure of a system that you really had no choice, no matter how great you were. You couldn't claim that you should get the first Aliyah. Not necessarily true. And the Rambam, an interested reader should take a look at the Perush HaMishnayot and the Rambam here, and compare it with his presentation in the Mishnah Torah. It's a very interesting piece. So now, Kol HaTorah Kula Nam Nei Darkei Shalom Hi. So that's not unique to this. All of Torah is given for Shalom. Dichtiv, Darche, Darche Noam, Chol Antivo Teha Shalom. All of the roads of Torah are peace. So that can't be the answer. Ella Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, what's the Darkei Shalom? The Kohen reads first. That's the Oraita. So Abaye says, L'chedemar, D'tanya, Shnayim, Amtin, N'zel, N'zabika, Araf. You have two people, who are about to eat. They wait for each other. Shloshayin, Mamtinin. If there's for a third person, you don't wait. In other words, you can follow the Rabbim. Botzeah who poshet yado tchila. The one who makes a motzi gets the bread first. Balchol kavod the Rabbol and Misha Gadolmenu. This is the part we care about. If he wants to show honor to somebody who's greater than him, harashut biyado. He can make a motzi and then give the first piece to his rabbi. But v'yamamar Allah lo shanu ela besuda. That's only true at a meal. I'll beit haKnesset lo. But it's not true in shul. Meaning, if you are a non Kohen and your rebbe is a Kohen and you want to show, if you're a Kohen and your rebbe is a non Kohen, you cannot show him deference by saying you take the first aliyah. And that's what the Darkei Shalom is. In other words, the Darkei Shalom here is not to promote Kohen first, but to disallow a non Kohen from showing deference and allowing the Kohen first. Why? Da'atu lin suye. Because then people are going to start fighting and saying, how come I don't get to be first? He said, by the way, the limitation is only on Shabbos and Yom Tov when there's a lot of people there. Interesting. On Monday and Thursday, the shul wasn't necessarily packed. And therefore, it's okay if somebody, a non-Kohen, goes first. Aini. Now the challenge here is not to Monday, Thursday. The challenge here is to Shabbos. V'haravuna kari b'chani b'shabbatot v'yomim tovim. Rav Huna, the great Talmud of Rav, got the first aliyah on Shabbat, even though he's not a kohen. So Shana Rav Huna, the filu Rabbi Yam Rabbi Yasi kohen echshiv eretz Yisrael mikaf havu kaifule. Even the greatest kohanim eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yam and Rabbi Yasi, were subservient to Rav Huna. They saw Rav Huna as their godel. This, by the way, is one of the important proofs for the Rambam's approach. This and the Mishnayot at the end of Horayot. Okay, I'm Rabbi. So now we have a series of rules about the sequencing of Aliyot. I'm Rabbi. Nektinan, we say in Ein Shon Hashem Kohen Mit Pardah Chavilah. If the Kohen's not there, the whole system falls apart. We don't say that then it goes Levi, Israel, and whatever, but rather it's just free for all. Now the Rashi here has two approaches. One is to say that there's no system whatsoever, and a Levi can be anywhere. The other one is you're not allowed to give a Levi an Aliyah because the Levi's Kedusha seems to be only as an assistant to the Kohen, and people would make an error. Some shuls have the minig to follow Rashi's first lashon and give a Levi one of the Aliyot, and some have the approach to take the second approach, which is not to give an Aliyah at all. Ve'amar Abaye, Naktinan Ein Sham Levi Kore Kohen. If there's no Levi, then a Kohen reads in that place. Now, our assumption here means you call up another Kohen. Eini v'amar b'yochanan, kohen achar kohen lo yikra mishum kamo shel rishon. A kohen should not read after another kohen because then it looks like the first kohen is invalid. We found out that he was invalid. Levi achar levi lo yikra mishum kamo shneim. And a levi should not read after another levi because it could put a bad name on either one of them. In other words, it could be that we found out that the first levi was no good, so we called another levi up, and it could be that the second guy coming up now is really Yisrael, and that's why he gets that slot after the Levi. All right, the answer is, Kikamrin about Tokoin. The answer is, in our case, when we say that if there's no Levi, the coin reads, means the same coin reads. You coin, and he stays up there for another Aliyah. Now, parenthetically, on that distinction, Maishtar Levi Achar Levi, why do we say that Levi Achar Levi would raise suspicion about both of them? De'ikab gam shnehem, da'amri chad minayu lav Levihu. People will say, one of them is not a Levi. So coin after coin, nami amri chad minayu lav coin. If you have a coin after coin, people say one of them is not a coin, and therefore it could be become shnehem. The answer is going to muchzaklan bavua the high sheni the coinu. The second guy we all know his father was a coin. So achin nami muchzaklan bavua the high sheni the levi. It's the same thing. They say the same thing. If the second levi is called up and we all know his father is a levi, he's a levi. Ella amri mamzeret ontina nasi v'pasli lazari. Maybe the guy's father married a mamzeret and therefore his kids are not valid. Maybe the Kohen also, just because we know he's a Kohen, doesn't know his kids are proper Kohen. Maybe he married a Grusha. So, sof, Levi Mikahave. But either way, this guy is not a Levi. So when a Kohen reads in the second slot, we know he's not a Levi. So therefore, there's not a the fact that we're giving an Aliyah, it shows that he's proper, that he's kosher, and therefore it must be that that's because there's no Levi. All right. Uleman, Eli Yoshvin, what is this whole concern about? If it's for people who are sitting there, Akachazule, they see the first guy, they see the second guy, we see him marching on, and we see that at no point do we say, oh, we didn't call the right guy up, let's change it. So what's the problem? El Aliyotzin is because of people who might leave after that Aliyah and not know what happens afterwards, and might think, oh, they called that guy up, and then because it turned out the first guy was no good. Shachule b'nei Galila Rabbi Chelbo. Then they sent the message to Rabbi Chelbo, acharehen mi korin. You have korin Levi Yisrael Levi. Then what's the order? Lo havi yadeh. He didn't know. Ata v'shay le Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. He went and asked Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. This is all in the Galil. Amar le acharehen korin tamidei chachamim hamunin parnasim ala tzibur. I wrote on the notes, because I was running out of room, that it's tamidei chachamim who are, I wrote, leaders of the community. But it's really tamidei chachamim who are appointed to be leaders over the community. After that, Tamei Chachamim who could be appointed if there was a need. Then it's the children of those who are the leaders. Then the heads of the Knesiot, the people who run the Batei Knesset, and then it's open. So they send another question. Can we read Chumashim? Chumashim means individual scrolls of Sefer Bereishit, etc. Can you use that for public reading? Lo havi yadeh. Again, Rabbi Chelbo didn't know. Ata shal Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Again, he asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Lo havi yadeh. He also didn't know. Ata shal be midrasha. They went to the Beit Midrash and asked. Upashtu amihad bar Meshua mar Rachman mi Yochanan. They had a quote from Rabbi Yochanan. This may have been Rabbi Yonatan. from the following statement. Sefer Torah shechaser yiriya achat. If a Sefer Torah is missing one column, ain korimbo, you can't use it. So certainly you can't use a Sefer Torah, it's missing four-fifths. That's what they thought. Velohi, but it was not a good analogy. Hata mechsev milte, that one is missing what it has. In other words, it's a Sefer Torah missing. Hachal mechsev milte, this is a Chumash Bereishit, it's all there. So you could read it. Rabbi Yosef Damri Tavayu, but they said, Ein korim chumashim et hakneset mishum kvod hatzibur. Technically it would be okay, but it's a lack of kovod for the tzibur to read from chumashim, you should read from proper Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yosef Damri Tavayu, and then they continued on and said, Hai Sefer Aftarta. Sefer Aftarta is a scroll that has the Haftarot in it, but not the entire book of Shmuel or Malachim, but all of the Haftarot. Asur l'mikra every Shabbat. You're not allowed to read it on Shabbat. My Tama, delo nital nikatev, because it should not have been written. You're not allowed to write parts of Nevim. Marashi amar l'tutula nami asur. So he reached the conclusion that it's muktzah. My Tama, the halochaz l'mikra be. You're not allowed to read from it, so it's muktzah. It has no purpose. Velohi, in the end we reject it. Sharli Tatula, Vishali Mikrabe, you can carry it, and not only that, you can actually read it. Why? They used to read Sefer Agadah. There was a scroll that they kept records of different Agadot, and they would read it on Shabbat. You're not supposed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. Since there was no way, because people were forgetting and they had to write it down, so we have to violate one thing to maintain the entire Torah. In the same way, this tzibur can't afford a Yehoshua and a Shoftim and a Shmuel and a Malachim, etc. Therefore, they wrote a Sefer Aftarta, so we have to be able to allow them, we allow them to use it. So Rabbi asked Rabbi, can you write a scroll for a tinok, meaning that has part of a chumash, so you can study. It's not going to be used for public reading. We will see in a couple of moments a machloket about whether the Torah was originally given as one unit at the end by Moshe Rabbeinu and Arvot Moav, or was given piecemeal, some in Har Sinai, some in Ohol Moed, and some in Arvot Moav, Megillah, Megillah, Nitnat. Any of the interested readers should look at the Ramban's introduction to his commentary on Chumash for an exposition of this position. And he said, this question can be asked according to either opinion. Tiboy lamanda amr Torah Megillah, Megillah, Nitnat, Kimanda Megillah, Megillah, Nitnat, Kodvin, since the Torah was given in sections, you can write it in sections. So Kimanda Yidbak, Yidbak, or perhaps since ultimately it was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's one unit. Now you could ask according to the approach that says Torah was given to, as one unit. So therefore you cannot write it in sections. Sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to, and we've seen already some flexibility in this. So Amarle ain kodvin. His answer was, you're not allowed to do it. Umatam, why? Lefisha ain kodvin, because you're not allowed to write such a thing. Eitavei, we have a challenge to the idea that you cannot write a part. The story in Masachet Yoma about Heleni Hamalka, we spoke about several times, and spoke about her at length in Masachet Nazir, that in the first century that she gave a great gift to the Beit HaMikdash, among other things. She gave a gold plate that had Parshat Sota written on it, and the idea was it would be in the Mikdash, and the Kohen, who had to write down the Parshat Sota to be erased, would copy from there. Of course, that itself should indicate something, that you are, the fact that you write Parshat Sota proves you can write piecemeal, but that's a unique tzivui. Question is, why can you have that thing there? That she didn't write the whole Parshat Sota, she wrote an acrostic with the first letter of each word. That's not really the case. Why? He says, Shu Kotev, whoever Kotev Mash Ketuvah Tavla. The Kohen sees what's written and copies it down. So, Ema Kamash Katuba Tavla. Maybe it means he writes based on the cues of what's written down. He writes what's written there. Mao Katuba Tavla, and what's written there. Im Shachav, Im Lo Shachav. If a man slept with you, a man didn't sleep with you, drink, take the oath, etc. We dealt with that in Sota. So, Hachamayaskin, what are we talking about? Beseirugin. Meaning that the first couple words he wrote out, and the rest was all Rashi Tevot. Ketanoi, the answer to this question is, it's a machloket tanaim. En kodvim megillah letinok lin amed ba. V'atol ashli mutar. Chachamim say you're not allowed to write a megillah for a kid. Unless you intended to write an entire sefer and then you stopped in the middle. But l'chatchila, to plan it out, you're not allowed to do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees, but Breshit Ador Mabul, you're allowed to write the story of Breshit until the flood. Torat Koni Mad Vayibam Shvini, you're allowed to write the entire first series of commands of Korbanot, the first eight chapters, basically, the way we have it divided. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda does allow sections to be written. All right, so we see it's a machlokot. Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Banai, Torah Megillah Megillah Nitnah. Near we see the exposition of these two positions. The Torah was given in sections. Shemar Azamarti Hinevati Megillat Sefer Katuv Alai. David says, I have seen that I was written in a Megillat Sefer. And this is, according to Chazal, an allusion to the hints of David's selection in the Torah. Shtev Vnotecha Nimtzaot in stone. And so I am written in the Megillah, the Torah. Shimon Lakish Amar Torah Chatuma Nitna. Shimon Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Torah was given as a complete document. Shneimar Lakoch Et Sefer Torah Zot. Moshe says to Levim, take the Sefer Torah. So you need, it's a complete piece. V'irach Nami Aktiv Lakoch. So what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with that? Ha'hu Levater Edidbak. He means once Moshe put it together, then it was a complete book. V'irach Nami Aktiv Megillat Sefer Ketuv Alai. And Rish Lakish, what's he going to do with the pasuk in Tehillim? It's there to say that the Torah is called the Megillah. This is in the Marot of Zechariah on the 24th of Shvat in that year, in the 518 or so BCE. I see a flying Megillah. And the sense is this is the Torah leaving Yerushalayim. Or it could, the same notion, the Torah is called Megillah, could be for this other purpose. Rabbi Levi, Shwana Parshiot, Ne'emru b'yom shukam b'mishkan. On that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was set up, there were eight parshiot that were given in the Torah, and you'll notice they're not all together. Parshat Kohanim, the Kiddush Kohanim, Parshat Levi'im, Kiddush Levi'im, which is in Balotcha, Parshat Tme'im, Parshat Shiluach Tme'im, in Bamidbar, Parshat Achrimot, which is of course in Vayikra, Parshat Shtuyayin in Shmini, Parshat Neirot, Parshat Paraduma, which is the Chukat, pieces that are all over the place. So you see the Torah was given in sections. So that's the idea of Megillah. But they were Ne'emru. In other words, they were said there, but according to Shlokish, they were all given to be written at one shot at the end. Amar Belazar, Torah, Rov Bichtav Miutal Peh. Rabbi Elazar says in Torah, majority of it is written, and a minor is Alpeh, meaning most of the halachot are learned from Midrashim. Shemar Echtov lo Rubei Torati. I will write a majority of the Torah. Kamo Zar Nechshavu. Yecham Arov Alpeh Miu Bichtav. He says, no, majority of it is Balpeh, and a small amount of it is Bichtav. Shemar Ki Alpi Advarim Haile. This may approximate the contemporary dispute about whether Midrash or Mishnah is really the primary source of halachot, but that's for another forum. He quotes the pasuk, Ki Alpi Hadvarim Haile, and playing on the word Alpeh, so what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with that pasuk in Hosea? Hahu atmui kametame. It's not a statement, it's a rhetorical question. I'm going to write most of the Torah? Come on, Azar Nechshavu. It's like an outsider. In other words, I can't write most of the Torah. And what's Rish Lakish going to do with, what Rabbi Elazar going to do with Alpi Advarim Ha'ila? It says most of it's Baal Peh. What it means is these are very difficult to study. And then the idea is that by studying it, that they are very difficult to study. That part is difficult to understand, but that doesn't make it the majority. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani miturgamani Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Lakish's Turgaman said, K'tiv ki tov lecha et advarim ha'ila. Write these words, and it says based on, shall we say, the mouth of these words, as it were, but meaning dvarim shebal peh, haketzad, how do you reconcile these? The answer is dvarim shebichtavi yitavu shari lo moran al peh, things that are bichtav, you're not allowed to say bal peh. And there are really are restrictions to saying Torah shebichtav orally, by memorization, except certain sections, the kimin degrisi, as a kriyat shema, things of that sort, that we're allowed to. And Dvarim Shebal Peh, I thought we should have Lomran Bechtav. And Dvarim Shebal Peh, not allowed to write down. Which, of course, was the prohibition that was trumped, as it were, because of the great need of the hour, Eid Lasot Lashem. Dvarim Shmuel Tana, he has a different thing. Eila, meaning Eila Takotev, Iya Takotev Halachot. You write these words, but not the Mesorah. V'yochanan, meaning the halachot. V'yochanan, lo kvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu brit im Yisrael, ela b'shvil dvarim shaval peh. Torah shaval peh, as Rabbi Yochanan said earlier, is the main thing. That's the breach. Ne'emar, ki al pi advarim ha'ela karati itcha v'rit v'et Yisrael. Based on these words, meaning the Torah shaval peh, I wrote a brit with you and with Am Yisrael. Okay, we will pick up at this point. We will again go back to the Mishnah and daf nun tet, Amud Aleph at the bottom, and Nun Tet Amud Bet at the top, to see the rest of the things that are Mnei Darkei Shalom, and then follow this Gemara through until Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, and then continue to the end of the Perek on Daf Samach Bet Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.